Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Hello out there in Facebook land. Lord, I'm all just discombobulated. Okay, you caught me. All right, Blog Talk Radio. I'm sitting up here getting everything together. I'm bouncing back and forth between pages. I'm on my Facebook page. I'm Twittering. I'm MySpace and all of these different things. But I just want to say hello to you. Thank you all for coming out and putting your ear to the grind for me and for listening in to today's show. You are Dishing Tea with Big Meech, and I thank you for your love and support and for always coming in, doing your thing with me, honey. You know we're going to do it the way that I always do it, giving it to you the way that it's given to me, honey, okay? And we're just going to keep everything moving right along. I had to take time and just take a breath because, child, we had a very long weekend. Black Gay Pride here in Atlanta has concluded, and I'm still coming down off of the effects of that and Skate-a-thon and everything that went on this past weekend in Atlanta. So I am exhaling, if you will. Got some things coming up because there was a lot of things that come out of this weekend that I'm going to bring for future shows. At the same time, I want to say thank you for all of you coming in and for keeping us together. I want you to call up a friend, call up an enemy, if you will, honey. I don't care. Just make sure you get folks to listen in to us here at www.blogtalkradio.com/dishing-tea. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to call in live, 347-205-9183. Once again, 347-205-9183. That's to get you in. You can listen live by telephone, and we can move forward, okay? I'm going to give out a special shout-out to my sponsors. I have a few sponsors. You all know that I have to let you know that there's folks out there who believe in what Dishing Tea is all about, one of them being Trade Day Management and Publicity. Trade Day Management and Publicity is a full-service project management and publicity firm specializing in media pitching and placement, exposure campaigns, event supports, launches, public relations writings, relationship building. Enjoy a touch of Southern hospitality with a universal appeal. At Trade Day, we build our solid relationships with businesses and projects based on dedication and commitment. We deliver effective solutions for a wide range of creative and printing and fulfillments. Trade Day Management and Publicity. Join them at www.myspace.com/TradeDayPR. That's TREADAYPR. Also, my other sponsor, one of my other sponsors, is Pharaoh's Treasure Box, affordable fine art and jewelry, and 3D silk floral designs, creations by Taps. For all of your artwork and unique jewelry design needs, contact Pharaoh's Treasure Box. They're in Detroit, Michigan at 248-688-5178. Or simply go to pharaohstreasurebox.com. That's pharaohstreasurebox.com. Thank you so much. We also have Parisian Wind Productions, Mixed Masters Extraordinaires, honey, out of New York City. They specialize in gospel house music and all kinds of tracks and getting the beat out there. Baby, my friends out there, Paris Hairston is the CEO of this company, and he is letting us have it, baby. So Parisian Wind Productions, thank you so much for your support in dishing tea. And also for C-Train Productions, Omar Cassidy and C-Train is out there doing the thing as entertainment moguls, as a producer, actor, and director of projects. C-Train Productions, putting it out there the way that it's given to them, baby. Keep it where you got it, because C-Train is going to take you all the way there. You got it? I love it. Thank you so much to all of my sponsors. And I'm getting tongue-tied because I'm breathing, honey. I'm telling you, I'm having just a day today, you know? But it's all good. I'm telling you, I give it to y'all the way it's given to me, honey, because it's just one of them days. It's one of them days. I've been working crazily hours, and just got to breathe, and I'm finna ready to go in and just take my time. Today's topic, I call it, "You're Welcome, Your Majesty. The King is Here." Ha ha. We're going to look at the world of gender illusion from a different perspective. Many of you out there, you know the girls, okay? You know the girls, the girls, the girls, the girls. Well, we never heard about the guys. And my guest today is going to get us right ready, okay? Going to get us right together. My guest is critically acclaimed and is known throughout the world. My guest is a forefront in this genre, and I'm so thankful that my guest was gracious enough to spend this little time with us so that we can get into the world of dread. My guest is Mildred Dread Garrison. She hails from New York City by way of Haiti. Dread has been on the scene since 1995, mesmerizing audiences in the illusions of P. Diddy, Shaft, the Haitian god Baron Samedi, Osun, and even Grace Jones. Yes, Dread has been performing all over the world, including Korea and Holland and Germany and Brazil, and has created many workshops that are designed to create change in the way people of all ages experience themselves and each other, regardless of whatever the issues are they're dealing with. The show, The Dread Love Experience, is a performance workshop which combines several art forms such as poetry and music and monologue to help participants question gender stereotypes and it's also to get the folks to ruminate on their own identities and to look into what they are all about and to illuminate those things about themselves. Dread has been featured on many television programs and on many different television stations, including The Ricky Lake Show, HBO, MTV, Oxygen, and is one of the stars of the award-winning film Venus Boys. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to welcome my guest. This is Dread. Hello there, baby. Dish your tea with me. How are you? How are you? How are you?
Greetings, greetings, and greetings. Yes, this is Dread giving you all a shout-out from Brooklyn, New York. All is well, all is well, all is well.
All right. Well, all is well. Okay. All right. Well, you know, you first came into my consciousness years and years ago on the Ricky Lake Show.
Yeah, that was interesting to be a part of.
Yeah, right back in the earlier days of your career. So let's get it started, because a lot of folks don't really understand the whole world of drag itself. I mean, when we talk about the girls, everybody know the girls or what it means to be a drag queen. But let's talk about drag kings. Explain that to the audience.
Well, first and foremost, I'm an actress who just happens to also play male roles.
Mm.
And some people have called that drag kings because I'm, I guess you can say, quote-unquote, the opposite of a drag queen, a woman who sometimes dresses up as a man and performs as a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I started that back in 1995. Now, I started because I was inspired by other drag kings that I saw performing. And these were women that were on stage disguised as men, performing to different songs and doing different things like poetry and stuff like that. And I was really empowered by the performance because they were so fluid in their gender and free in their expression and their sexuality. And, you know, drag kings exist. You know, they're not just drag kings. They're women out there who perform as men. Some lip sync,
right.
Some sing live, some read original work. So, yes.
Okay. I like the fact that you said I'm an actress first, because, see, that's something that you and I share. I, too, I'm an actor, and I, too, perform. I'm on hiatus now, but I, too, perform as, you know, a gender illusionist artist. So you said your catalyst was watching other kings on stage. For you, was it difficult to get into, or did you see this as an extension of your acting career?
Well, what's interesting enough is when I first saw Drag Kings, I wasn't doing any acting. I had just graduated with a bachelor's in office information systems, computers, from Pace University.
Mm-hmm.
And about 6 months after I graduated, I was at this bar called the Pyramid Club in the East Village. It's still there. And they always had drag queen shows, but they started having these drag king shows. And as I was watching them, as I said before, I felt really empowered by the performance, but I had a vision. I had a vision that I was going to give it a try, and so I did. One of the drag kings who at the time was named Buster Hyman, she came over to my apartment. She came over to my apartment and helped me put on my first facial hair. And as I was doing it, it was like a rebirth, like I was giving past life to a man, to past life of myself as a man. It's a very spiritual experience for me. It's a very healing experience, it's a very spiritual experience, and very fun experience to do this kind of work and to make a difference in people's lives.
Oh, okay. All right, so let's explore that. When you say make a difference in people's lives, and it being such a spiritual aspect for you, what do you see in people that lets you know that you're actually touching them? How does that work for you?
Well, when people say to me, thank you for letting me know that I am normal, thank you for letting me know that I'm not weird, thank you for letting me know that I belong in this world too and have a right to express myself the way I choose to, then I know my
mm-hmm.
work is done. When I get this kind of feedback, then I know that, you know, then my work is done. And the more people I reach, the better. And, you know, my performances are a lot of fun, but you learn at the same time. They're inspirational. And so are my workshops.
Okay. So when you say your workshops, let's talk about your workshops for just a moment. Outside of them being performance pieces, you said performance and workshops. What are the workshops designed to do? What do you tackle in the workshops?
Well, one of the names of my workshops is Spiritual Alchemy of Gender, meaning how gender is transforming ourselves and each other, how have we been chosen to perceive gender in ourselves and each other, what fears arise from the gender expression of another, how do we rise above those fears, how do we learn to accept one another as we are, how do we learn to accept ourselves, the black, the white, the varying shades of gray that we have within us. My workshops start off, you know, with a performance, and then there's a Q&A and dialogue is brought up about the perceptions of gender, and there are exercises, partner exercises that we do, and, you know, they're very informative and they're a lot of fun, and the community, the participants just create wonderful dialogue among themselves about gender.
Okay. But, you know, that's very interesting that you say that the workshops bring about information on challenging gender roles. How often are your workshops frequented by those who are transgender or those who are seeking to transform, and those who are in the process of transitioning?
Well, the beautiful thing about my workshops is that they're universal, and I've had all kinds of people in my workshops and in my performance audiences, whether they're transgender or lesbian or gay or bisexual or straight or queer, whatever they identify as. I've had all kinds of people in the workshops because we're all human beings, beyond being a man, beyond being a woman, beyond being transgender. We're all human, and we all want to be loved as we are. We all want to be happy. We all want to be happy within ourselves and within our expression. And finding that sometimes can be a scary thing because of what society does to us, whether that's society through the media or through the church, religion, or through our families, domesticating us. And it's important to just be human and be a spirit, really, more than anything, and flow with your expression. Like, some days I'm very masculine, and other days I'm very feminine, and it can change at any given moment. And, you know, labels don't work for me. If there was a word I would use, it would be fluid, because that's how I feel.
Oh, I like that, fluid. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that, very fluid.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you know, let's talk about your transitioning or your transforming or becoming into the character of Dread. I know for me to become Samantha Stevens' divinity, when I put on my makeup and my lashes and my hair and this, that, and the other, you know, there's this empowerment that there's this other person coming into being. Is a given birth process like? What is that process for you?
It's similar. Like I mentioned earlier, when I first got into drag, it was like giving birth to a past life, to my past life as a man. You know, it's very powerful. It's very sensual to me. It's very powerful. It's very sexy. It's very, it's a deep experience. And, you know, like when I'm performing on stage, in a way, it's kind of like a possession or being guided by my ancestors, by my angels, and in expressing these gender roles, you know?
Oh, wow, baby, now that's deep right there. Oh, that is deep right there. Okay, let's go there. Let's go there with that. Because a lot of folks, those who are not into the art form of this, you know, they have their own little, you know, their quirks and their qualms about it and their prejudices and et cetera, et cetera. However, for you to tap into that, I like the fact that you said that you feel as though this was that a past life or a past male life that you may have led spiritually is evoked. You know, when you're transforming, when you are into that particular space, how did you come into accepting that? You know, on a spiritual level, to understand that this is a possibility, or I'm accepting this to be what it is.
Well, I've been very blessed from the get-go. I mean, when I first started performing, it felt very natural. You know, so I didn't have a problem with performing in male drag. What was interesting enough, though, is that when I first started performing in, you know, as a male gender, I was doing it so much, 3, 4, 5 times a week. And what happened was I was realizing that I would go out into public disguised as a man, and I realized that I was enjoying myself more as seen as a man in this society because I didn't have to worry. I didn't worry so much about how I looked. I felt safer walking alone at night. I felt more comfortable taking up my own space. And as a woman, I didn't feel these things. And so what Dread made me do is empower my woman self. I would say discovering the inner man in me empowers the woman I really am. Dread helped Mildred to heal, and that's where Dread comes from. My birth name is Mildred. Dread is the inner man born out of my woman self. Mildred, which is what I prefer now, actually.
Mildred. Okay.
Yeah.
The culmination of the two. The two spirits have become one.
Yeah.
That's deep, baby.
Yin and yang.
That is damn deep. I love that. Oh, I love that. I love that. Wow. Now, you know, okay, now let's go here, because see, we talk about the spiritual energy, but what of the sexual energy that comes up? Because you said earlier, you know, when transforming, it's the spirituality, it's the sexiness, it's all of that. When dread is the dominant personality, what is that sexual energy for you, and how do you maneuver through everyday world with that energy?
I don't know how to answer that question, except to say that, you know, even though Dredd and Mildred are, we all are sexual beings as well, but
mm-hmm.
I've been celibate for 5 years. And so that's
really?
Sexual energy. Yeah, and that sexual energy that comes up for me, I just transform it into my, I channel it into my creativity.
Get out here.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I transform it and I use it to create, to write, to sing, to dance, to perform, to teach. And I'd be so busy, I don't have much time for anything else.
Really? Now, you know, I know it was very alluring for me when Samantha would come forth, the type of people that I was attracting as Samantha versus being Demetrius, because there was a whole different caliber of people that I attracted. Do you find that same way or that same type of thing happens with you, you know, versus Mildred versus Dredd and then now Mildred? You know, is the attraction levels different or the friendships that come on there different, or how does that work?
I don't know. People, thank God, just love me as Mildred or Dredd. You know, I feel really blessed
mm-hmm.
and supported by my friends, by my fans, by my admirers, you know. But when I'm out in public, you know, I don't pay much attention to that stuff. I could be oblivious. Someone has to knock me on the head if they're interested in me, because I wouldn't know. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I wouldn't, you know, and I'm open to that, but it just hasn't happened for a while. But, you know, I'm just taking care of myself and honoring myself and loving myself and being attracted to myself and appreciating the mix of gender in men and women and appreciating the
mm-hmm.
beauty in everybody that I see.
Okay. All right. Now, you know, how long does it take you to go when you're about to perform? How long does your transformation take, you know, from going from?
Like 10 minutes, not even long. Especially after
really?
Doing it for 15 years, it's to put the hair on my face and everything and get dressed, 10 minutes tops.
Get the fuck out of here. See, you know, it still takes, girl, no, you are not going to wreck me like that. Because I know, 10 minutes, Jesus.
Yeah,
I know, see, for me, no, baby, it takes me. I've learned how to do a face. I could do a face in 20 if I have to. But then there comes everything else. You got stockings. You got my underbody. And I don't wear pads. So, you know, all of the stuff that deals with. Then I still got to put on the dress. I got to put on some hairstyle, the hair, you know, lashes. Girl, I'm done. I could still get done in record time. I could be done in 45 minutes. If I'm taking my time, you know, because I have time to kill or whatever, it would take about an hour to an hour, 15 hour, 30 minutes to get prepared, to get ready to go out for to perform and this, that, and the other. 10
right.
minutes. I'm scared of you. I'm scared of you.
Don't be scared.
Oh. No. Oh, wow. 10 minutes. Because I've seen pictures and I've seen you perform, I've seen your work, and wow, I'm amazed it's not a lot that you do for transformation, but the transformation is completely separate. I see a separate person,
mm-hmm.
you know, from your beginnings, and I'm just floored at 10 minutes. Now, you know, here's the $25,000 question that I'm sure the audience is going to know, and that is, of course, for that special male part, honey, do you use enhancements, or is your transformation completely just the hair and clothes?
Well, for one thing, I don't strap my breasts down. I don't use dildos or anything like that. I do use something special though. But for people to know what that is, they have to come see my performance because I'm not going to.
How about that one?
Away.
Okay, don't reveal it. Don't reveal it.
Something with okay. Every guest.
Okay, I love it. She said, I do use something special. Okay, I love that. I love that. I love that. Okay. Oh, see, yeah, now that's what's curious. See, all right, so exactly, because a lot of folks will be like, okay, you know, no, it has to be something. So that there is the little tease. So you guys got to come out and catch the show. So listen, what are you doing, like, right now? Because I just saw on your webpage that you just had a show, the Dread Love Experience, and you were just doing something just recently in New York City. What is your schedule looking like?
Well, it's looking very busy, thank God, thank Goddess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to Europe on Friday.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yeah, I'm going to Switzerland. I'm going to go do a performance of my one-woman show at a conference in Bern, Switzerland, and then in Zurich, Switzerland, I'm going to do a gender workshop. So I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, after that, when I get back the next day, I'm going to be doing on the 22nd a workshop for domestic violence survivors, the staff of a domestic violence survivor organization, and then the following doing one for domestic violence survivors for women and trans women who have been abused. And what else? I'm going to Arizona October 23rd for the International Drag King Extravaganza to perform and facilitate a workshop there. I'm performing in Toronto, Canada on the 29th. I mean, everyone can just go to my website, which is dreadlove.com, dreadlove.com, and I'm also for hire if people want to hire me to do a workshop, a performance. I do weddings. I do bar mitzvahs. I do birthdays.
Say
I do
it, baby.
Showers.
Say it,
I
baby.
I do films, all of that stuff.
Okay, you better work. All right, man. Because work is work,
I'm working,
honey, okay? Okay, work is work. Yes. I man.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's hit something because very serious because you were saying that you're going to do workshops with domestic violence survivors.
Yeah.
And you sounded very passionate about that. What drew you to that and how, you know, what does the workshop entail?
Well, the reason I really always wanted to work with this population, and it's all about, when you get down to it, it's all about just loving yourself. And
mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what kind of human being we are, but it's about loving yourself and not letting yourself be abused by society, by other people, by your own families, by your own self. And so the workshop is about just embracing yourself and loving yourself and being strong in that self-love so that nobody can stop you from living your dreams, nobody can stop you from being who you are or who you choose to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what is your, now coming up, being, how long have you been in the States? You have Haitian heritage. So were you born in Haiti and then migrated here, or how did that work?
No, my parents are from Haiti. I was born and raised in Brooklyn.
Okay, so you're Brooklyn. Right? Okay, Brooklyn. Okay.
Hey.
Say right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So with So, okay, being a native New Yorker, which I don't run into many lately, being a native New Yorker, what was your family life like once you decided that this was the career path you were going to take?
Well, the first couple of years I started performing and doing a gender-bending performance, I didn't tell my family because I didn't know how they would react, and I just wasn't sure of how they would react, so I was afraid to bring it up to them, but a couple of years later after I started, I did tell them, and they were very supportive and still are. They love seeing me on TV. They love reading about me in books. They bring their friends to my shows. They come to my performances. my mother, my father, my siblings, you know, they support me. So I feel very blessed to have that experience.
Oh, wow. Now, that is a blessing. That is a blessing. Okay. Now, let's go into some of your characters, because we mentioned that you do P. Diddy and Grace Jones and Baron, the Haitian god Baron, Semedi, and Osan. What led you to these particular characters, and how did you get your research on to develop new ones?
What led me to these characters? I guess, well, for Shaft, for instance, Isaac Hayes Shaft, Richard Roundtree. When I first started performing, there was a drag king named Julie Wheeler, and she suggested to me, she said, you should do Shaft. And so that's why I started doing the Shaft, and I would watch the black exploitation films. I would study them and see how they walk and how they move and, you know, their style. And I love the 70s music. They don't make music like that no more. But
I know they don't. Oh, is it sad?
You know. You know, that's how Shaft began. And P. Diddy, I just thought, you know, it's all about the Benjamins, you know. That was a song I performed with my friend Luscious, Queen B. Luscious, who played Lil' Kim, or Big Lil' Kim, because he's tall. But, Big Kim, call him. But, I'll call her. But, you know, it's about that hip-hop, how masculinity is so, like, you know, it's such masculinity in that hip-hop culture, and I like to break it down. I like to be like this. I start off, for example, being a hardcore rap dude, and at the end become this effeminate drag queen or effeminate woman. And so I just want to bring to the audience, you know, to just be conscious of, you know, like I said earlier, how we are chosen to perceive gender and in ourselves and each other, and what does the media teach us, and how does that affect us? But Baron Samedi is a Haitian voodoo god. And in Haiti, you know, voodoo has gotten a bad rap in the U.S. And,
it's
black magic and all that. But what it really is simply is an honoring of the gods. And in Haiti, actually, in voodoo ceremonies, wherever, I don't practice it, but I read about it. And some people who participate in it are possessed by a spirit that may be of the opposite gender, like a woman that may be possessed by a male god, will take on the characteristics of that that spirit and take on the mannerism. And a man who's possessed by a female god, female spirit, is takes on the mannerisms and movements of that female god. And that's how I kind of feel with my performance. When I'm channeling this energy, it's like I'm paying tribute to the higher beings that be, the ones that protect and guide me. And I feel like it's a sort of possession.
Wow, now that's deep. That there is deep, honey. Are you looking to bring in any new characters to your ensemble?
Oh, definitely. I already have a new show premiering on September 26th that I wrote, my third One Woman show, which is available for hire for colleges, theaters, et cetera. But it's a new show. It's filled with new characters. And I'm also going to be working on another new show starting next year at some point, dealing with more of my Haitian spirituality mixing with my gender-bending performance.
All right. Now, when you're putting together your shows, and this is what I find interesting, because I'm hearing, you know, I put together a one-woman show in here, and I write this and I write that, versus I know with a lot of the girls, it's basically a lip-sync performance, and when we put our shows together, for the most part, it becomes just, you know, us doing the songs, and we have a little choreography that we do, and et cetera, et cetera. When you putting on a show, how does your one woman show go? Is it a series, you know, like we know shows to be in theater, you know, a beginning, a middle, and an end, and you have some talking that brings out the character? How does that work?
My show is a mix of many mediums, as you said in the bio earlier. Spoken word poetry in my show. There's There used to be lip syncing, but this new show that I'm doing doesn't have any lip syncing in it. There's a bit of comedy, there's monologue, theater, and there's dance. So I like to mix all my talents up and bless my audiences with it, including myself. When I first started, I would lip sync a lot. I didn't talk. I was afraid to talk. I was afraid to use my voice until I got to the point where I was like, wow, I got a story to tell, and I want to share it with the audience, and I want to share it with the world, with the universe. So that's what I do now. Yes. I could say some of my poetry if you'd like.
Oh, would you? Okay, give us a taste.
I'll give you a little taste.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Give us a taste.
Yeah, this is a poem from a dread love experience. A challenge. A challenge it could be to watch me with all your preconceived notions, brainwashed into our minds by society. Forget the gender fallacies as I shatter your reality. As I bring you into me, creating a simplicity of self-love. Mm. About more than what the eyes can see is being open to an expression of female and male, a union of the utmost divinity. My name is Mildred, and my name is Dread, and I am a multi-spirited Haitian American, gender-illusioning, black, shade, different, goddess, anti-oppression, open, non-traditional, self-expressed, blessed, gender-bending, drag-kinging, fluid, ancestor-supported, and after all that, non-labeling, woman, womb, man. Now, I know it's a lot, but I can handle all that. After all, I am a Gemini. That's it for now.
Okay. Ow. What'd you say? I can handle all that because after all, I am a Gemini. Get it? That's hot. That's hot. As you were saying that, I was seeing that as an opening. See, I'm a director, so when I hear stuff, my mind just goes straight into, and I would create a whole show just around that piece in my mind. That is hot. That's hot. Now, do you do that to music, or do you do it just like you just did it there?
Both, but I love working with music, and this new show that I'm doing on the 26th, I'm actually going to be performing it to live music, a live saxophonist.
Woo! Yes, because I hear that. I can hear that. Yeah, that's working me. That's working me. Okay, that is working me. I like it. Oh, I love that. I love that. Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm looking here. Wow. So I love the creative process. And see, when you work with me like that, it takes me a minute because I done went into a whole nother zone. And, yeah. So I'm taking a breath. Exhale it out so that I can talk because, child, that was love. That was love. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you hear that out there, honey. This is part, just a little taste of the dread love experience, and I love it. I'm loving it already. See, I know your earlier works from your lip sync show. Like I said, when you came into my consciousness, it was on Ricky Lake. When she, you know, back in the day of is this a man or a woman days when the whole drag culture was such a phenomenon to straight to the hetero attractional community, and when television was still going for that shock value on the earlier days of shock value now, because now we're so far over the top now to where it's ridiculous, and so to hear that you've evolved into this consciousness and unto this area of performance, I'm greatly, you know, fascinated by it. Now, you said something earlier about you not wanting to use your voice. Was it fear because of the sound of your voice being so soft-spoken, and it may have made the illusions more believable, or was it out of fear of folks not wanting to hear you?
When I first started back in 1995, I guess it was just a fear of my own power, to be honest with you.
Mm.
You know, we all very powerful creative beings, and a lot of us are afraid of our own power to make a change in people's lives, you know. And so in the beginning I wasn't using my voice, but I changed that when I realized that I do have something important to say and that I want to share with the world, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, you know, you mentioned Luscious Queen Bee just a moment ago. Luscious. I saw a clip of the movie. Venus Boys. And now, your interaction in there, and in the clip that I saw, was there's a lot of love there between the two of you. And I need to find the movie, because the question that I wanted to ask was, were you two an item? Because I said, child, they interact with one another as if they're a couple.
Oh, we never were like that. We're best friends. We're like
just
friends.
Best friends.
Yeah, that's it. But there's
a
strong love there.
The clip that I saw, I said, okay, I need to hear the rest of this because I'm missing something. It was a clip, and it was talking about how when you two first met, and you just saw all this booty on this boy, on this girl, and then when he turned around, and you saw, you know, what nature had intended for him to what was there. Now I won't say what nature intended, but for when you saw him in his all natural to realize he was male. Then it was one of, you know, it was a get a grip kind of feel at the beginning, and then you guys have become very close and all of that. And I was wondering, you know, what the tea was, but I couldn't get the rest of the movie. I was like, okay, where is it? I need this answer.
Where did you see that clip at?
It was on YouTube.
Okay, that's right. But you could get the film on Netflix. You could buy it on Amazon.com. You could buy it on BarnesandNoble.com. It's available online.
I just found it online because it's not here. They don't the video store is here. Yeah, I'm going to have to because they don't keep it in stock here. They only keep like one or two copies, and they're always sold out when I've inquired about it. So I just found it yesterday online. I said, oh, okay, let me go ahead and bunch this because – I like to build my repertoire of very empowering LGBTQIIA, Lord, alphabet soup, movies and things of that way, so that it keeps us empowered and keeps our history together and also gives us the different perspectives of what's out there in our community as we are vast and broad. So you are one of the stars of this movie because everything that I've seen, all of the tags, all of the promos, you're the face of the cover. You are actually the headliner because your name is first. You know how they list credits and everything. We know the first name is usually the headliner. How did that come about for you?
Well, when I first started performing in male drag, there was a drag king group called Club Casanova started by this drag king named Moby Dick and this drag queen named Mistress Formica. And every week we would give a show to the public and we would have press from all over the world. You know, drag king was very hot at that time and everybody wanted to know more about us. And there was a filmmaker who was visiting from Switzerland and she came up to us, she approached us and said she always wanted to do a film about female masculinity, about drag kings and female masculinity. And so we talked to her, we checked her out, we slowly got to know her, and then Venus Boy was born from that. Her name's Gabrielle Bauer, and she's an amazing woman. And she made an incredible film, and it was a real blessing, a real treat to be a part of it. I can't wait for you to see the whole thing.
Yes, I want to see this whole thing because the whole idea of female masculinity is, it intrigues me because a lot of women, they tap into it, but not really understand what it means. We have a general idea, you know, from the tomboys and what we see to be butch lesbians or male identified lesbians. But a lot of us don't realize the power behind it. And as a gay man, I know that I'm attracted to female masculinity because that's what I know. My mother was a very masculine woman in the fact that, you know, a lot of what she did, my mother taught my brother how to throw a football. My mother taught me about a car, you know, that kind of thing. And to embrace that is always empowering. And, you know, like, I'm attracted to all the female heroes, you know, Wonder Woman and Storm and Batgirl and all that kind of thing. And it was always intriguing. So the power of female masculinity is what I think needs to be explored and talked about. And not just given, you know, coming outside of the whole idea of lesbian versus straight woman versus whatever. It's just female masculinity. And I'm so looking forward to seeing this particular production. So with that, having said all of that, what are your next projects? Because I know you're working on a documentary based on you and things. I know that's in the works and all that. What are you looking to do in your future?
Still early. It's still very, very early in the stages. I'm also going to record a music CD of poetry and also record an audiobook of my one-woman show. And what else? You know, definitely want to do more films and stuff like that, and working with a couple of new agents to see what's going on with that. You know, things are just slowly coming together and bringing me to another level in my career, and I'm excited about that, and people can keep up with me through my website, which is dreadlove.com. They can contact me through there, and I'll keep them posted through email, you know, dreadlove.com. But, yeah, it's all good.
All right. I love it. I love it. I have a caller who wants to ask a question. Let me go here and take this call. I'm going right now to 313-651. Hello, T Sipper, you're on the line. Hello, caller.
Hello.
This your T, darling.
How are you?
Oh, hello.
Your Majesty, how are you? Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yes. My question is, you had mentioned audio recordings. I was wondering if you have any current books of poetry, of your poetry work, or...
No, not at the moment. What I do have, though, my work is spoken about in several books, like 8 or 9 books, and some of them are listed on my website. But some of the things I wrote was published in an anthology called Cast Out, Queer Lives in the Theater. But I would love to keep you posted. If you contact me through my website and leave me your email, I'll definitely keep you posted on when that is happening. And I thank you for inquiring about
it. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, caller. I'm going to put you back down there. All right. So how was that like for you when you had your first publishing? When they came to you and said, okay, look, this is what we're putting together, and, you know, we want you to be included in this. You know, with those first steps when you were becoming involved in everything, how was that for you?
Oh, so wonderful. It's so wonderful to be honored, for your work to be appreciated. It just feels good, you know. The universe it just shows me that I'm on the right path.
Okay. And now with your audiences, how has your audience changed any over the time? What is it that you look for in your audience, or what does your audience tell you that they expect from you?
Well, the audience has never told me what they expect from me, but they can totally expect to get a good show, I tell you that.
I heard that.
You know, and to for something in them to shift, a mindset, their spirituality. I want people to leave as a higher conscious after my show, you know?
Right. I feel you on that. I'm sitting up here. Folks don't know that I'm on the air, and I got somebody knocking at my door. So I got to text them and tell them to hold on so that we can keep everything going. We're down to the last 10 minutes of the show, and I want to make sure that you take an opportunity to let the folks know what's going on with you. And also, let's talk about a lot of the darker side of some of this, because sometimes we don't get we don't hear or we don't come out of the dark sides of it. A lot of people, you know, we've lost a number of entertainers through hate and misunderstandings. You know, the internalized hatred that goes on and the backstabbing and things. How have you overcome those particular crises or some of that darkness that has propelled you to continue to move forward?
Well, I'm a child of the Creator, and I'm protected, and no matter what I do, I know what's meant for me is my divine birthright, and nobody can take that away from me because it was given to me by human beings, given to me by God, by the Goddess, by the Creator, by my ancestors, by my angels, by my guides. So I'm just very confident in that, and you know, my aura, the energy that surrounds me is powerful. I keep it strong. I teach and do yoga. I practice kung fu. I do Reiki energy healing. So I keep my body, my spirit, my physical, my spirituality strong.
Okay. Okay, I heard that. I heard that. She said I keep it all strong. That's what I'm living for, honey. That's what I'm living for. Now, what would your advice be to those who are out there who are looking to get into this business? What are some of your pearls of wisdom that you will share with others?
Feel the fear and do it anyway. You
that's
know,
wonderful.
Yeah, and don't be afraid. And if you are, it's okay. Use that energy to get you excited. Use that nervous energy to really thrive on what you want to do, on fulfilling your dreams, on making other people's dreams come true besides your own dreams, and to really love yourself and know that everyone has a unique expression. Every single person, no two person, not even twins alike, everybody expresses themselves in a different way. And if you don't choose to express yourself, that expression is going to be lost forever. Do you realize how powerful that is, that we each have something that nobody else can do ever again?
Say that. So walk into your own unique divinity and your own uniqueness.
Yes.
And empower that. I love that. I love that. I do. But you know, who are some of your mentors that constantly provide you healing and look up to you and take you into those elements when you're having low moments or when the low self decides to make its presence known?
God.
All right, say that. Okay, say that. Okay.
Yes.
A period. Okay, exclamation point. God.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I love that. Now, you know, you were mentioning some names earlier, some of the other kings who have been inspirational to you in helping you get your start. Who have been those who are current that still give you your start, either kings or queens even, that you look up to?
Well, I don't know if they call themselves drag queens, but I love when Eddie Murphy, when Martin Lawrence, when Tyler Perry do their characters. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I want to blow up like them, and keep making a difference in people's lives through my work. Whoopi Goldberg, Lily Tomlin, you know, they played both male and female characters. Some of them had their own written their own plays, one-person shows. You know, that's inspiring to me.
So that's a whole different approach, and I love that. Because, you know, a lot of folks in this business, would start naming girls, you know, girls are some of the guys who are out there, you know, as their inspiration and this, that, and the other. I like that you went on a broader sense to take the whole art form out of just the LGBTQIA culture. And I love that. Do you feel that we have that we're able to do that now with the Eddies and Tylers and Martins out there and Lily Tomlins and, you know, Whoopi doing that now on such a mainstream. Do you see the art of gender bending expression becoming more acceptable and tolerated?
I would hope so. I have faith that it will become more tired. I feel that people are becoming more open, people, you know, but people want to be entertained, and that's why I do. I entertain people. I make them laugh. I make a difference in their lives. I bring them to another level of honoring their own unique self, you know, and I mean, I don't know what else I can say about that, but I hope to be one of the catalysts for people to embrace people who are so-called different than them, to embrace different expressions and different ways of living and being, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, okay. Dig it. Dig that. Dig that. Okay. So now, after it's all said and done, if you were to ever give up this particular career choice, was there ever any other career that you may have thought about going into?
Well, first of all, I don't think I'm ever going to give this up. But in addition to doing this, I'm a yoga teacher. I'm a Reiki practitioner. And now I'm learning Kung Fu and would love to teach that one day. So I already have several careers going on at one time.
Multifaceted. All right. See, tapping into all of who you are. And that has been, ever since you opened your mouth, that has been your creed, and you live by it, to tap into being the very, very best I can be. And bringing that into fruition. And I think I love that. Does that energy resonate in the shows themselves, or is that what you project to resonate in the shows, or is that all in the workshop portions?
It's in everything that I do.
Dig that.
It's all about love, baby.
Okay, okay, say that. Say that.
All love, it's all good. It's all good. Baby.
Okay. What you say? It's all good, honey.
Yes, honey.
I'm living for it. I'm living for it. Now, with all that said, and you being you said you a Reiki practitioner, and you know, just highly developed spiritually. Are you affiliated with any of the LGBT affirming churches that you teach this in, or are you independent? You know,
I'm an independent contractor. I go to all churches, whether they're straight or gay or whatever. You know, I'm a universal force, and I don't limit myself to any one particular group because that's not what me, my work, or me is about. I want to do this work for all kinds of people, no matter what their sexuality is, no matter what their religion is, no matter what their race is, no matter what their class is, no matter what their age is.
Well, dig that. Okay. Dig that. That, okay, in the chat room, somebody said, there's none higher. Okay, now, Pharaoh's Treasure Box, that love is, okay.
Okay, yes.
Yes, only love. Love is the answer. Love will fix it. That's Ashford and Simpson. Let's see that. Let's see,
yes,
that's you and Luscious
yes,
next thing, honey. Ashford and Simpson, honey, love will
them.
Fix it. I found the cure, honey.
Yes, I love Ashford and Simpson. I actually performed at their bar and did some poetry at their bar, and they really, really loved it. And Nick Ashford said that I have a sensitivity that's precious.
Oh, see there, yes, 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 I love that. I love that. I love that. Oh, okay, see, this hour goes by so fast. I just got my little call that says we're down to the last 90 seconds of the show. Let me take this time now to thank you for coming onto the show and for giving us a look into the world of a gender expression. I'm going to use that from now on, of gender expression performance through the eyes of female masculinity. And I love that. I thank you. For those of you who are tuning in, make sure that you go to the website and find out more about her. You can find her at dreadlove.com. That's dreadlove.com to find out the schedule, to find out the happenings and when all of this, the new projects are coming out. She may be coming to a stage or to a theater in your town very soon. Sign up for the mailing list, and we'll get ready to have the Dread Love experience. I thank all of you for tuning in. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please email them to me at dishingteawithbigmeech@gmail.com. dishingteawithbigmeech@gmail.com. I thank you all again. Dread, thanks for being on the show, my darling. I hope to talk to you and hope to see you live and in person very soon. Until the next time, my darlings, have a safe and wonderful, prosperous day.
You too, my brother and my sister.
Exactly. Okay.
I look forward to working with you somehow.
Oh, my darling. Now, that I'm going to put that in the atmosphere because that is going to happen. That's going to happen. I've already decreed that.
All right.
That's already decreed. So, my darling, I thank you, and I will definitely keep in touch with you. And the listeners, thank you as well.
Thank you so much. It was a blessing to be on your show.
It's always a blessing when you're on this side of creation, darling. It shows growth.
Yes.
Okay, my darling, have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you, sweetheart. Bless you.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Peace.
All right, folks, thank you all for listening. We appreciate all of you. Next week, we're going to have Trinise from American Idol, Season 2, Broadway musical theater actress and singer. She's going to be on with us discussing some things in her life and her new project. She has a solo career coming, a solo project, rather, coming out. And I would love it if you guys are there to Kiki and TT with us as we dish some real tea with her. Once again, thank you all for tuning in to this week's episode of Dishing Tea. I will talk with you again soon. Peace and blessings unto you all. Bye-bye.